listeners, you are listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. Also, if you're listening via iTunes or Stitcher, we would love for you to hit the subscribe button, and you can listen to us regularly. Subscribing is our best way of knowing if our content is beneficial for you or not. So we would love your comments in those sections, your ratings, and let's just have a conversation. Yeah. I am Zach Gandra. Hey, I haven't introduced you yet. You got to give yourself a calm down there, Steve.
What I was going to say is that if you like the content, email me, and if they don't like the content, email Zach.
That's fine. You can send all of your negative email to me, and it will be ignored thoroughly. So I ignore most of the email that I get that's constructive.
No, we listen.
We're building a great culture here at Excellent Cultures, Biz Culture
Matters.
Yeah,
we don't listen to any feedback. We just do whatever we want.
I am your host, Zach Gandra, and with me, as always, is clearly the immutable Steve Gandra.
I used to be the inimitable, and he changed me to immutable.
Yeah, I don't think you're inimitable. Well, no, you're pretty inimitable. So, Steve, we got a workshop coming up that people can register at excellentcultures.com. Tell the folks a little bit about it.
Yeah, great opportunity for any business leader, middle managers to CEOs. The focus of this workshop, 2 days of really digging into what we've been able to sandwich down in, you know, over 37 years of helping businesses of all sizes build supercharged high-performance cultures that set records, just like the guest you're going to hear on our show today talk about his culture. But this is sandwiched down 2 days of really great middle managers to CEOs. Awesome feedback. You're going to learn what you can change and what you can't change in a culture,
right?
How to change what you want to change and be equipped with the tools to make it happen. Get a scientific assessment on your culture as a leader. Great value add for any leader who is wanting to get better.
And here's my two cents. If you don't personally want to change, then don't even bother signing up. Because the last thing we need is more people trying to change other people and not start with themselves. Leadership 101.
If you don't want to change, send one of your leaders who does want to change.
There you go.
And then expect them to come back and try to change you.
Well.
For the better.
That's not the goal. But if that's a byproduct, hey, that's what happens, and it's probably needed. Introduce our guest today, Steve.
Yeah, hey, this is rarely do we have, as you know, listeners, do we have someone back on the show a second time, but this guy has done such phenomenal work at building high-performance customer service cultures. You'll remember, those of you who've been listening to the podcast or the show for a while, last year we had Denny Fitzpatrick from the Hotel 1000, downtown Seattle, number one on TripAdvisor in customer service in Seattle out of over 97, I think it is, luxury hotels. Since then, Denny has made a shift. The Hotel 1000 was sold thanks to his contributions for what I understand was a record price per square foot of any hotel property ever sold in Washington State. Way to go, Denny and team. Denny is now the senior leader, general manager, CEO out at the Willows Lodge in Wine Country in Woodinville, and has recently been voted by USA Today, I'm told, or was it US News? Denny will tell
us
for sure. Will tell us for sure. But again, you know, number one in customer service, you know, in the region for the population that they serve. And he's got a phenomenal story about how he took a culture that was good and brought it all the way to great in about 6 months or less.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and
welcome Denny Fitzpatrick.
Here's the clap track.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you on the show, Denny.
Good to be back. Thank you. You guys are too funny, too kind.
Yeah, do we tell any lies about you, or are we at least close to the truth?
You know what, Steve? You were spot on. It was U.S. News.
U.S. News.
USA Today.
Okay, U.S. News.
And you know, as the top-rated hotel in the state of Washington, they picked one hotel per state, and we fortunately were the one selected. So it was a big – this happened in January of this year. And it just was a huge statement to the team, and this is the housekeepers, front desk, valet, bellman, engineers. It's everybody that, you know, creates that true – memorable customer experience, and Willows had been very, very good, but we needed to change the mindset of it's not just about you, it's not about your department and what you're entitled to. This is about us, and I just feel really good coming to work every day. I literally love coming to work because of I just want to keep being part of the change that focuses on the guest and focuses on each other, and the results take care of themselves. It's really plain and simple.
Yeah.
Well, being in the middle of wine country, Washington, do Willow's Lodge employees get free wine?
No.
I hope not.
Not on the job?
I need to buy it just like everybody else. At a discount, of course.
Wholesale.
Wholesale. With the position.
Nice.
Yeah,
but
I can tell you that I love to come to your place just because the guy that does the valet parking at the front, it's like we become best friends. But it was like that before I ever met him for the first time.
You stayed there recently.
It took your mom for Valentine's Day, and we had a great time, fabulous experience. Great place to get away for a weekend or a holiday, or stay someplace really cool that's relaxing and peaceful, even if you're in the midst of business in Bellevue or Seattle, because it's just a few minutes away. But
exactly.
Yeah, outstanding experience. I mean, the dining was awesome. The atmosphere was awesome. The service was superb. The rooms are really, really cool. I don't think you have any rooms that are not really, really cool.
No, every room does have a balcony and a sunken tub.
And a fireplace.
And a fireplace.
Yeah, the coolest thing is you can watch your TV from the jetted tub, or, if the wife wants to get in the tub, she can close it off and have her privacy, and you can watch the basketball game.
Exactly. So we sort of hit a home run here. It does. If it's January, February, and it's rainy and it's, cold, you don't want to leave the room.
Yeah.
During the summer, you still don't want to leave the room. You may not have the fireplace on, but you're sitting out on the balcony looking at beautiful vegetation and eagles and geese flying over your head.
Yeah, and the Sammamish River Trail if you want to get in shape.
Yeah, yeah. So our whole approach is create memories day and night. It doesn't matter rain or shine, 75 degrees like this last weekend, or it's pouring down rain. People just don't want to leave Willow's Lodge. There's plenty of reasons to stay right here, and so we feel very fortunate that we've got the best of both worlds here.
Well, I know that when we stayed there, it was just delightful, and it's great facility, and you've done a great job of describing the facility. But what really makes the difference is the culture and the people. And
so, Steve, let me ask you a question. You've been the viewers know you've been here what? Three or four times,
maybe as many as five, a few.
Okay. What change from last July to when you were here about a month ago for a meeting?
Yeah.
What did you experience?
Well, what I experienced was just the joy level and the care of the staff. I mean, the facility was really cool all along. You can tell that when you go there, it's not just somebody that's faking a script to say the right words to let you know that they're happy that you came. There's a level of heartfelt sincerity backed up by action that you feel from the staff, and it doesn't make any difference if it's a housekeeper who's speaking broken English, or if it's the front desk manager, or the director of catering services, who are quite articulate, or the good-looking tall guy that parks your car at the valet. It's the same. It's consistent. Mm-hmm. And, we can tell that the secret sauce that you're feeding those guys is something that they don't just take because it's a policy of the property. They're taking it because they want to, they like it, they love it, and it's, you know, we'll find out in a second, it's really not secret sauce. It's just a culture of we love people. We love people. We love each other.
I use those words.
Yeah, we love to be here. You know, it's like you know, their attitude says, you know, what you just said when we got on the show, I love coming to work, and they don't have to say any words for you to know it.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So tell us more about the work that you do, and Denny, maybe even some of the what you experienced when you've made the shift from Hotel 1000 to the Willows Lodge, and you know how you went about making this huge transformation in culture that is doing so phenomenal.
Okay, well, I got here last July. Previous to that, I was the general manager of Hotel 1000 for 6 years and also was the regional director over this property. So I knew the property very, very well. But when the Hotel 1000 did sell last June, a new financial company came in and they brought in a new management company. And I wanted to stay with my current management company, which is Benchmark out of Houston. So when I came here, I was coming to a very successful Willows Lodge that had been in operation for 14 years. And there's a core foundation here of numerous employees that have been here 12 to 14 years that helped build the Willows into a very accommodating and very reputable gathering place, whether it's to the Barking Frog for breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
That really is a that really is a restaurant, folks.
Yeah, Barking Frog, or the spa. We run our own spa here, and then we have the herb farm. That's our building, and we own that, but we lease it out to a proprietor, and they run the herb farm. So I was coming into a successful operation way before I got here. But in so doing, with many players who've been here for 12 to 14 years, they also were very comfortable in what they had been doing. But we needed to change, just like any business needs to evolve. And we needed to up our ante quite a bit in terms of the consistent overall guest experience. And it didn't matter whether somebody was coming here for a wedding, going into the Barking Frog, staying in the hotel, or just driving into the parking lot and going to the spa and then leaving. I created a little saying here, Highway to Heaven. And what that is for the listeners who are familiar with Willows Lodge, you come off the street and you pull into our lodge, and it's like you escape that big wide world out there. You know, you forget about Bellevue, you forget about Kirkland, Redmond, and you're on this little oasis. Well, we have three different buildings here. We've got the Barking Frog across the little road. We've got the main lodge. And then we have another building that has guest rooms and a spa. So what I noticed was how the three areas, to a degree, operated independently of one another. So I had to think of something to make it fun, but to connect. And I thought, you know, when people drive down this road, it's they're coming off the highway, and what happens in the Frog has to be known what's happening in the hotel. And what's happening in the hotel, as guests are walking across our little road over to the Frog needs to know who they are, and, you know, versus people just showing up.
No,
I created this little saying of Highway to Heaven. It's a connection. Well, that became a buzzword. Now it became a culture. Now it's Highway to Heaven means exceed, go as high as you can. Your employees are empowered. Make an experience happen as they're leaving from the Barking Frog, walking 40 feet into the lounge, lodge, to go to their room. We got to know about it. The valet has to know what they had for their entree. They just had a dessert. They're celebrating their anniversary. They're here on a honeymoon. And now we know their name, and now the experience, they are just blown away when they come across the road, across the highway of 40 feet, and the valet knows how their dining experience was. They're astounded. So all day long and all night, we have a whole thing of H2H, Highway to Heaven, create memorable experiences. So that was one thing that connected the buildings together. And now every shift recap, every report has Highway to Heaven stories on it.
H2H.
Anyway,
yeah,
that's
amazing. And if you've ever been to the Willows Lodge, you'll know that really the Highway to Heaven is just a driveway, 40 feet, I think you said.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is that 40 feet, when you got there, it sounds like you had these three silo cultures that you were able to bring together into one team that was all about exceeding the customer's expectations.
I had to connect the buildings that psychologically and emotionally were separate.
Yeah.
That they were separate physically, but they could not be separate emotionally.
Right.
And through communication. And I think a lot of businesses have to battle the very same thing.
Yeah.
You know, some businesses are on three floors in office buildings.
Yep.
And there's a cultural divide from one floor to the next floor.
Yep. We've actually had a few people talk about that and had clients that have multiple buildings to the property, which adds to that issue in a whole nother level. We got
to
go to our first break.
They have to find a way to overcome it.
They have to find a way to overcome it. Exactly.
They've got to find a way to overcome it.
That's a huge, huge point.
The culture will not change.
That's absolutely right. We got to go into our first break, guys, but you are listening to Denny Fitzpatrick, one of our second round guests. We've had him come back. You don't want to miss the next part. This is Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy. To-do list, done. Supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better. That politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say, rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure, you don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back, everybody. Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, and we are talking with Denny Fitzpatrick, general manager out at the Willows Lodge, who just left us. If you missed the first part of the show, you want to go back to excellentcultures.com. iTunes or Stitcher and catch the podcast, because he gave one of the key cultural elements to building an excellent culture, which is bringing communication and emotional connection between different buildings that your team may be in. In your case, Denny, what was that? It was a walkway between a restaurant and the Willows Lodge and the whole deal.
And the third building.
And the third building.
And then just so folks know, the Herb Farm is actually a world-class, five-star restaurant.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
That's right there on the property as well that the Willows Lodge doesn't own. But the proprietor that you lease it out to is the Highway to Heaven has captured those guys too, it looks like.
Yes, because many of their guests stay in the hotel. Others pull their car up. We valet their car. We need to have their car ready for them at 10:30, 11 o'clock, ready as they walk out of our farm. It's a complete experience. It's happening on our land. So we needed to create a culture where they were not viewed as a separate entity, but part of the Willows Lodge experience.
Yeah. I want to get you to talk about the Willows Way Five Eyes here in a second. But first, just share with us, your vision, Denny, of, what is a culture? I mean, a lot of buzzwords going on in the marketplace today and in the business world about, ethics and values and employee engagement and all these things that companies publish on their websites and they talk about and pay a lot of lip service to, but they're not the ones that are winning, the number one awards, in the publications like you have. Tell us about your vision. What's your vision for a culture of ethics, values, and employee engagement at the Willows Lodge?
That's a mouthful, Steve, but that gets right to the real heartbeat of a culture. As general manager, I allow myself to be critiqued by my executive committee. I let them know that I have to live it more than them, and I'm willing to be held accountable to what I say, how I say it, what I do, what I don't do, and they are taken back by it, that they can actually give critical, constructive feedback back to me. And when I become vulnerable and transparent, they then become transparent. They then carry it on throughout their departments. And now before you know it, like what you experienced, Steve, people love one another. People, it's not something that's forced. It is something that people, my staff, they're living it. They're living a joyful life here, even though it's hard work. They want to say thank you. They want to praise one another. And so it's not in a manual. It's not in a three-day course that this comes about. It comes about through literally being transparent and being held accountable. And those words are lived here. They're not just said. They're not up on a – they may be up on a wall, but they're applied in staff meetings and in one-on-one meetings. And I had a meeting 45 minutes ago with three of my food and beverage people, and it was a very heated argument about direction, about what needed to be done in one of our outlets. And I listened to the whole thing. They were very honest with each other. They were very passionate with each other. They did not interrupt each other, but they spoke from the heart. And to me, that's healthy.
That is
very healthy.
Yeah.
And then we came to a conclusion, and I'm the one that didn't even come with the answer. They developed the answer themselves in terms of what the next steps are.
Yeah.
So I hope I answered the question.
Oh, you did. You did more than enough. And what I heard there is something that we spent a lot of time covering in our Achieving Excellent Culture workshops, is that most leaders think that what accountability in a business means is that I'm the boss, here's your job description, and so now I'm holding you accountable to do it. And what they fail to realize is that that doesn't work any longer than the few seconds after you say it, because accountability is not something that is mandated or forced if you want it to be effective. It's something that's chosen of people's free will. And when you come in and set everyone back by telling them that you want them to critique you in terms of how you're living up to the standards of the culture, and they finally realize that you're not kidding, that you're really telling the truth, what comes out is not people trying to be transparent or reading a script of transparency, or people, you know, using the word accountability. They do the behavior. They live it. And
they
that's
live
huge.
The behavior of those words.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah,
that's huge.
Of the word.
Yeah, so right. tell us, I mean, one of the things I enjoyed most when I actually visited and got into the bowels of the organization, so to speak, when you hosted the Just Business Roundtable and we were, you know, able to go and, you know, you said, okay, you're going with this staff member, you're going with this staff member, you're going with that staff member, and feel free to ask them any question that you want to ask. And then you instructed all your staff to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, the absolute truth. And they did. And when we got to go out and, you know, go behind the scenes and go into the laundry and go into the places where customers rarely go, I saw that Willow's Way Five Eyes posted on the bulletin board. I think it was in the lunchroom or the laundry. I forget which. It's everywhere. Tell our listeners about the Five Eyes, you know, the Willow's Way Five Eyes, how that came about, what they are, what it means, and how it's not just some you know, nice, fancy statements posted on the wall in a gold frame that looks pretty, but how people live them and the difference that it's made in your results.
So in 2011, when I was at Hotel 1000, we were in the fifth year of operation. And for those of us who were in business in 08, 09, and 10, we all know what happened to almost all businesses, banking and hospitality and retail and whatever, everybody, you know, the crash happened. And it took 2-3 years before many businesses started to build themselves back up. And the hotel industry, from limited service to luxury, got hit very, very, very hard. So we were on our way climbing back up out of it on the fast track in 2011. Anyway, it was the fifth year of operation, and I wanted something catchy. We had some acronyms at that other hotel, like WWF. And it wasn't World Wrestling Federation. It was WOW, Whimsy, and Fun. Our whole culture was make a wow, be whimsical, but have fun. So I was coming up with another catchy phrase like WWF. And so with the fifth year, I thought, what are we going to do? My staff's working hard. We're coming out of that decline. We're going ahead of our competitive set. But it's our fifth year. What am I expecting out of my leaders who are very talented, very dedicated? And for me at that time, it wasn't, I got to make them work harder because, you know, they're on their cell phones on their days off and on vacation answering emails. That's just the way my industry has become. So my leaders were putting the time in. They were showing up. But there was something else, and I thought, what else is needed for us to continue to change the culture and get more than our fair share, want people not to jump ship and go to work for the competitors and stay the course and help build Hotel 1000 to be the finest luxury hotel in downtown Seattle. So I'm thinking five, it's our fifth year. What's going to be catchy? And then I stepped back and I thought, so what am I really needing out of my leaders? It's not grinding it out more. And I go, in order to bring about more change, fine-tuning, refinement, whatever word we want to put on, increased communication, you know, blah, 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 and all that we all deal with. I go, what's preventing it? What do I have to create more of a culture? And I go, you know what? Something that's in everybody, It's only a matter what degree is. Everybody is still defensive. Everybody wants to protect themselves. Everybody wants to say, yeah, but nobody returned my email, or, you know, the list goes on and on.
Right.
Ah, that's it. I need to create a culture where everybody removes their defensiveness, myself included. So I go, ooh, that's one of my five I's. And I go, ooh, I'll come up with five I's. I will. So I came up with, I will remove my defensiveness. I will celebrate others' successes more than my own. I will remove the pointing of my finger. And a real big one that brings about changes, I will bring solutions to problems more than talking or complaining about them. And my last one was, I will focus more on we than me. So I wrote these down one night, and then I got my 28 managers together, and I said, okay, here's what I'm expecting out of all of you in our fifth year. And you got to pick one. Everybody has to pick one, myself included. So I rolled it out. And I had a flip chart, and I go, we're going to go where we've never gone before with each other. I'm not talking about renovating. I'm not talking about new carpet. I'm not talking about new TVs. That's all physical. Money can buy that stuff. But what has to change is how we relate one to another, because how we do that, it's going to transfer right over to the guest, and it's going to transfer right over to the employees. So I made everybody pick one and then talk about it. And then 2-3 months down the road, I brought back the flip chart, and I go, okay, let's go around the horn. Let's go. What one did you pick? What are you doing about it? So on and so forth. Well, it literally changed the culture. So along came the sixth year. And Hotel 1000 is really, really, really doing well. And I go, okay, are we done? And unanimously, because it became so much part of the culture, unanimously all my managers said, nope, we're not done. Nope, we still got a little bit of defensiveness. Nope, some of us are still pointing the finger at one another. They openly talked about it. They openly confessed what was working and was not working. So I had five eyes for the sixth year, five eyes for the seventh year. I had it for 4 years straight, never changed one word, and it changed the culture, and the hotel sold for the highest per room than any hotel in the history of Seattle so far. And I brought it over here to Willows.
Amazing.
And it changed the culture in about 4 months.
Wow. How to change a culture from good to great in 4 months.
4 months, that's pretty rare. except for our clients.
And now it's continually, I made everybody pick one.
Yeah.
And 3 weeks ago in one of my staff meetings, I brought out the flip chart, and everybody knew exactly what was going to happen. They go, okay, let's go around the horn, talk about yours. What are you doing about it? And now people openly talk about, I'm not as defensive. I don't cut people off as soon as they start talking. I'm listening to people now and not having to defend myself or justify what happened and why did it happen or why didn't it happen. And you can just see as a leader here.
Yeah.
And now what is so hilarious and what is so fun is how much they talk about. They brought it into their marriage.
That's great. They go over
it with their kids.
They took them home.
Literally, as God is my witness, yesterday my assistant director of sales sent me an email saying, Danny, I hope you don't mind, but I sent your five eyes to a director of sales in Belgium who says we need to change our culture. We're going to now adopt the five eyes.
That's great. That was great. We need to go to a break, guys. This is a wonderful story. And I got a curveball question for you when we come back, Denny. So get ready. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and ExcellentCultures.com.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy. To-do list, done. Supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate, bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back, everybody. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on excellentcultures.com and Clay 1180 AM. We are on the phone with the general manager of Willow's Lodge, Denny Fitzpatrick, who, if you weren't listening before, we just heard the amazing story of a changed culture in 4 months. The story of Hotel 1000, and then when Denny moved over to Willow's Lodge, a changed culture in 4 months that has really brought the team together. They've brought that culture. Some of them are bringing that culture home and sharing it all across the world.
Good to great culture.
Good to great culture. Yeah. So here's my curveball question, Denny. In all honesty and transparency, were there any people that jumped ship? Were there employees that jumped ship and didn't want the culture change?
Jump ship? Initially, no.
Or that you you made walk the plank or something?
Some resistance? Of course.
Of course.
Much. Yeah. And what I really feel is behind that is fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is fear and insecurity. But then when they, as we all know, to be a leader, you have to be consistent. You cannot be it for 2 weeks and then be completely different the next month in whatever you believe in.
Right.
But once they saw that this was not to harm anybody, it was not to expose their weaknesses, but to actually help them grow within themselves. It is something that we all have to deal with, you know, of fears, insecurities, shame, worry, doubt, so on and so forth. When they, whoever it was at Hotel 1000 in Willows, saw that this would only help them, not harm them, transformation begins almost overnight.
Absolutely.
Literally overnight.
Yeah. It takes some time to build trust and to...
Now they feel safe.
There you go. Yeah. Yep. That's very good.
And we all want to feel safe.
Yep.
Well, now it sounds like not only do they feel safe, but they know that you're living it and expecting them to critique you on how well you're living these five eyes, and that when they critique you, it's not met with defensiveness and a repercussion. And if it is, they get to call you on that. And as a result, we can talk about it because it's safe. And guess what? Real accountability happens where everyone holds each other accountable for the standards of excellence rather than fear-based, top-down, power-driven accountability that only lasts as long as, you know, somebody's watching with a magnifying glass.
Correct. I rarely have to correct somebody in terms of saying, why are you being so defensive? All that you're doing is talking about it. You're not bringing a solution. You're just complaining about it. Rarely do I even have to do that now because they, my staff, my managers, do it to each other. You can be involved in a conversation in my office, and one of them are saying, stop being so defensive. All that you're doing is interrupting. Just listen to me. And it completely changes a conversation.
Absolutely.
And what could take for a half an hour of beating around the bush, now many things can be dealt with and determined literally 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 seconds in many things now.
Well, how much time do you save?
That wall is down.
Yeah, how much time do you save, and how much energy do you save of managers not having to micromanage everything because you've got staff members correcting other staff members in a positive way?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Denny, what?
Well, I hate the word correcting. How about? The reason they do that is because they begin to care for one another, right? Is a reality.
Yeah.
It's not they're going around with a gun waiting to correct somebody. It's
they're not going around trying to find fault.
Right.
With each other.
Right.
The pointing of the finger gets removed from the emotion.
Well,
their vocabulary.
Yeah, it's exactly what you said in the five solutions. They're trying to find solutions rather than complaining or pointing the finger.
Exactly.
Yeah, very well said. So Denny,
conversations is okay. Let's stop talking about it. What are we going to do about it? And then you go right into okay. I'll go meet with the kitchen. I will get it corrected. We've got a meeting in 20 minutes. I'll bring it up, and I'll deal with it.
Good.
Now, it's tangible. Now, then I follow up. So how was the meeting? Did you address the situation?
Yeah.
You know, what corrective measures have you put into place?
Yeah, very well said. So what are the derailers? I mean, what should leaders watch out for as the danger signs of we're falling off track, the five eyes aren't really happening, what should leaders pay attention to as the danger
in
signs to watch out for?
When low participation, when danger sign to me is when people, staff, managers start to become too quiet, they become reserved. They are forcing their smile. Hey, how you doing? I'm all right. You know, their passion starts to fade off. Their behavior starts to change. Those are real warning signs. And when I see that, I'll pull in their superior and say, hey, what's going on with so-and-so? Well, Danny, they're having trouble at home. Their son ran away from home. And I go, okay, I got it. When did it happen? Oh, it happened 3 days ago. Okay. Then you just stay close to them and help them. We're here to help.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to harm. Okay. And, you know, it's not always something like that. But salespeople, when they don't get a piece of business, they can wear their emotions on their sleeve. A manager gets a bad Yelp review or whatever and comes across my desk and I pull them in. You know, they may have to. They're going to hear some hard things, but our conversations now are: don't be defensive. Don't tell me two people called in sick. The reality is, these people were not satisfied, and now there's a bad Yelp review. You got to deal with it. You got to get on the phone and you got to call them. You need to apologize. You need to get them back in.
Right. Well, there's another thought for good culture as we go into our last break. Use your Yelp reviews as constructive. I knew a guy that he hated Yelp because
they told the truth.
Because they told the truth. Like that's a point in itself. So this is our last break. So Steve, you probably want to get your coach's hat question ready.
Oh yeah, it's
for
ready.
Denny as we go into our last break. We're listening to you are listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and ExcellentCultures.com. We will be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate, bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back, everybody. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. And on the horn, as we have been chatting with over the last part of the show, which has been amazing, is Denny Fitzpatrick, general manager over at Willow's Lodge. And we didn't mention is a University of Washington graduate. And so if you're a dog fan, there you go. If you're a cougar.
If you're a dog football
we'll
fan, cheer. If you're a cougar. We'll find a cougar.
Meow.
Yeah, we'll find a cougar with a great culture.
There you go.
So, hey, here's the big question. One of the bad Yelp reviews on our American workforce and horrible Yelp reviews on our American leadership is, you know, the most recent Gallup poll. And it's been what's even worse is we've gotten the feedback 2 years, you know, two surveys in a row, and they're every 2 years. So for the last 3 years now, we've been told by the Gallup survey that 70%+ of our American workers are effectively disengaged in their jobs. So 70% of the people that come to work in this country go to work just the opposite of what we just heard about the Willow's Lodge. So, Denny, our question for you is, what connection have you seen between, you know, your culture that you've built, the Five Eyes culture at Willow's Lodge, and employee engagement?
Oh, it's a direct correlation. When a line cook, a steward, a dishwasher, a housekeeper feels valued, that they are important and they are not just a housekeeper or a front desk clerk, but they have meaning, they have purpose in the overall success of the future of Willow's, it's a game changer. And I go over this in orientation after 2 to 3 weeks when people are here. They must go through orientation. And, you know, we go over policies and procedures, but I'm the one that speaks on the culture, what they've walked into, and letting them know that for a first-time guest who comes here, and it's a housekeeper, the guest doesn't know that housekeeper just started 2 weeks ago, but they do know how that housekeeper made them feel or what the housekeeper said. So when I tell them, when they come here, they are not just a housekeeper. They literally are the image of Willow's Lodge. Now, when they hear that, they don't hear that at hardly any other business of where they've been at. They're not told that at a restaurant, a pizza shop, a convalescent home, or, you know, another hotel, because they tell me continually, nobody has told me that. Nobody has told me that I'm not just a bellman, but that I have purpose here besides just, you know, rooming guests. And then I need to validate that and continue to create the culture that is sustained. And it's not just something that they heard for 20 minutes in a meeting with the general manager, but they see it now lived out by other employees and by managers and so on and so forth. It's the toughest part of my job. It's the most important part of my job. Not the guest, it's the staff and what I make them feel about themselves, because they're the ones. As you and I are on the phone call right now I have housekeepers that are either chasing guests away. I have front desk people answering the phone, checking people in, checking people out, that are creating a memory right now, and I'm in my office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I'm not doing it. Yeah. I'm not doing it. I'm on the phone.
So feeling valued is what makes the difference, I'm hearing, between an engaged employee and a disengaged employee. And it sounds like
a disengaged employee is just showing up and getting a paycheck and waiting for their next opportunity to get out of there as fast as they can. A disengaged employee.
And it shows up in your guest feedback results, I'm sure.
It shows up when housekeepers are listed on surveys, when, you know, bellmen should be all day long, but when engineers go to the guest rooms and fix whatever they fix and now know the name of the guest and are engaged with the guest and are not just fixing the TV and leaving, but literally have a purpose with that guest more than just fixing what needs to be fixed. It just shows up all throughout the hotel.
Yeah.
That to me is a major indication that my employees are engaged and not just going through the motions.
That's amazing. So we got about a minute and a half left, Denny. Put your coach's hat on and just tell our listeners, tell business leaders today that what do you think should be done, the primary things that need to be done in today's businesses and corporations to establish and restore true cultures of ethics, values, and employee engagement?
A leader must truly be transparent and be vulnerable and admit when you're wrong, admit your mistakes. I have just seen cultures that when the top person does that, like the culture that I'm in right now with Benchmark Hospitality, the leader, Mr. Cabanas, has admitted publicly where he's made decisions that didn't turn out to be the best, but at the time he thought it was the best, but has admitted it and is then would say what he's done about it. You know, I'll follow a person like that, but a person who has a wall around them and I'm the boss, listen to me, and is very top-down management, you know, I'm not going to run into the fire for that person because I don't feel he or she's got my back. But somebody who I feel has got my back and will mentor me, I'll run, you know, two laps versus one lap.
That's huge.
And it just, we all say, you know, it starts at the top. It does, because the rest will flow from it. And I just try to live that way every day.
That's beautifully said. Thank you, Denny, for being on the show today. We're out of time. Time. I can't believe it.
Wow.
It went by fast.
It was lightning. Well, the great shows go
by fast. And yeah. I got a page full of notes. Look at this. I'm just like jotting
such
notes.
Great nuggets. Denny, thank you so much for being on the show. Listeners, head for the Willows Lodge. You
Absolutely.
Better call and get a reservation because they're standing in line.
They're getting it. It's going by fast. All right. Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and ExcellentCultures.com. Subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. We will see you next time.